Nice to be back following a week on vacation. So thanks to those of you who wondered where I was at, concerned about me. Just taking a week of vacation and back at it. Be back for a while now, with the exception of upcoming Labor Day. Take Labor Day off. And while I was gone, some pretty shocking footage of that U.S. journalist being beheaded by ISIS, and a lot of concerns now about the Islamic State and what's been happening in Iraq and Syria. And we've been talking about this prior to my vacation, about what had been going on there in both countries, specifically in Iraq. And now there's I think rightfully so, a growing amount of concern about the Islamic State and whether they'll try to launch an attack on the shores of America. And a growing number of people who are expressing concern. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Rogers said yesterday that the Islamic State is one plane ticket away from U.S. shores. Was on NBC's Meet the Press yesterday. Said one of the problems is that it's going unabated for nearly 2 years, and that draws people from Britain, across Europe, even the United States, to go and join the fight. They see that as a winning ideology, a winning strategy, and they want to be part of it. And that's what makes it so dangerous. They're one plane ticket away from U.S. shores, and that's why they're so concerned about it. That was on Meet the Press. Meanwhile, Bob Woodward was on Fox News Sunday. And he said he feared that Islamic terrorists, these ISIS terrorists, may one day mount a massive strike against the U.S., rivaling the 9/11 attacks. He said they already have more money and resources than Al-Qaeda possessed 13 years ago. Woodward said, as they were talking, specifically, they were talking about the beheading of James Foley. And they promised to shed more Western and American blood in revenge for U.S. strikes. Woodward said, I think you've got to look at what's the threat. There's a big debate in the intelligence community about whether ISIS is going to send people to the U.S. to attack here. Let's remember, I hate to go back to 9/11, but it's a critical turning point here. Mohammed Atta, the leader of the 19 hijackers, spent, as best as we've been able to tell, $400,000 on that attack. It was pretty cheap. He came here a year before, planned it in a very sophisticated way. So there are concerns that ISIS might be planning a large-scale attack along the lines of 9/11. And that's been the fear since 9/11, really, hasn't it? I said earlier this morning, I think after 9/11, this concern kind of became the new normal. Things changed after 9/11. We looked at the world in a different way and with a new understanding, I think, and that became the new normal, that there are those who would carry out this kind of violence on a large-scale effort on American shores, and that's, you know, and American policy then has reflected that concern in terms of, you know, taking the war to the terrorists. So are you also fearing that ISIS has grown in power and strength and resources, that they might be able to launch a 9/11-style attack? Do you think the United States is more or less vigilant? Are we doing enough to try to prevent something like that happening again? Well, I want to get to your phone calls and your thoughts on it coming up. 14 minutes past 8. Quick check on sports ahead. I also want to share, every Monday, Kello salutes our troops. Tell you who we're saluting. Every week, Kello salutes our troops. This week, we're saluting Roger Cook. or Crook, rather, Roger Crook. Excuse me. He's with the 142nd Transportation Company of the National Guard, currently serving in Afghanistan. And so we proudly salute Roger Crook. If you've got someone who's currently serving or has served in the past that you'd like to nominate, you can do it on our Salute Our Troops page at Kello.com. You can see all of our nominees and those that we have, that we're, our, you know, current troop that we're saluting each week. So if you got someone you want to nominate, the nomination form and photos, all of that is at the Salute Our Troops page. Just look for the banner at Kello.com. But again, our thanks to Roger Crook as we salute him this week, serving in the South Dakota National Guard. Thanks so much for letting me join you this morning. Islamic States, as you can imagine, was very much the discussion on the Sunday shows, and a concern as to whether ISIS may be trying to attempt another 9/11 style attack, or at least attacks on U.S. shores, which I think has been an ongoing threat every day since 9/11. Do you think that are we more or less vigilant? Have we let our guard down, do you think, since 9/11? 336-1320 is our phone number, 1-800-228-4435. Good morning, Scott. You're on Kello.
Good morning, Greg. Good to have you back.
Thanks, pal. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
How do you see this?
Well, you know, they have stated on numerous occasions that they'd like to come over here and do great damage to us. And with the porous situation we have down on our south border, I think we as a country would be foolish not to be concerned about them making attempts to get in the country and start planning things like that, I think.
I agree, and I fear that was one of the problems with what was happening on the southern border. When you have authorities that are overwhelmed with all of the people that are crossing and turning themselves in, when they're overwhelmed dealing with that, for those who don't want to get caught, it makes it that much easier for them then to cross the border.
Absolutely. And, you know, as far as being in a pre-9/11 mentality, I mean, you know, we've had comments from the president that, you know, we don't need to be concerned about these guys because they're the JV team. And there's just a lot of things coming from our leadership that would indicate that they don't really think that we have a direct threat, which is disheartening to say the least, since constitutionally speaking, that is one of the spelled out jobs for the federal government.
Well, no question about that, providing for the defense of the country. And I'm, you know, the Woodward's comment is he talked about this group wanting to carry out 9/11 style attacks. I think we've got to look at that's, I honestly believe that just kind of became the new normal following 9/11. We need to look at all of these groups like that, these very radical, extremist-type groups, you know, that are prone to violence. We've got to look at them with a serious eye. When we should be concerned about what the forces that they're building in Iraq and Syria.
Well, and, you know, the president also made the comment early on in his administration that, you know, we're no longer going to refer to these people as terrorists and the acts that they do as terrorism, but man-caused disasters. I guess I don't know if that's still his position now, but that certainly, to me, is another pre-9/11 mentality sort of a thought process.
Yeah, and that worries me as well. Now we've got, you know, beheadings occurring again, where we got, you know, an American journalist here who's been beheaded. That kind of just brutal violence, you know, that in particular is just, I think there's something, just a primal, visceral reaction that we have to stuff like that, which is, of course, why they do it.
Well, yeah, and if that doesn't demonstrate how badly they want to come after us, and they don't care what party affiliation you are or what color your skin is, the fact that you live in America means they want to kill us.
Do you think, Scott, we may find ourselves in a situation again where, you know, the thought process of the Bush administration was we're going to take the war to the terrorists, we're going to engage the terrorists in the Middle East. We'll engage the terrorists in Afghanistan so that we're not fighting them here at home. You think we're going to get to a point where we'll maybe be forced to return to that strategy, given what's happening in Syria and Iraq?
Well, if you start seeing things like that happen here domestically, I would think it would the public in general would cry out for that. And, you know, it's interesting because Hillary certainly has seemed to become a lot more pro a Bush position as far as military speaking here as of late. And I don't know if she really feels like that or if she just feels a need to, like most people have been saying, distance herself from the president in preparation for a 2016 run. But again, interesting that she, who was a very big opponent of Bush's, is now making comments like that.
Yeah, I find that interesting as well. And like you, you wonder what's just campaign speak and what actually would translate into policy, whether that would actually translate into a tougher foreign policy where these groups are concerned, or whether it's just talk. Sadly, you're never certain until after the election. Thanks, Scott. Welcome to the Greg Belford Show. I had a great vacation. Thanks to those of you who called and asked where I was at. All is well, so I appreciate it. Just taking a week off. Back at it this morning, and we're talking about the Islamic States and concern that Islamic State terrorists based in Iraq and Syria may one day mount a 9/11 style attack. Bob Woodward expressed that concern yesterday on Fox News Sunday. And there are a number of lawmakers who are very expressing concern about what's going on with Islamic State. House Intelligence Committee Chair, Republican Representative Mike Rogers, said that they're one plane ticket, talking about Islamic State here, that they're one plane ticket away from U.S. shores, he said. Other lawmakers, House Armed Services Committee Vice Chairman Representative Mac Thornberry of Texas said Friday that as many as 3,000 members of ISIS have U.S. or European passports, could slip into America undetected. He was on CNN. He said the biggest fear is that there are 10 to 12,000 foreign fighters that have joined ISIS in various estimates, but many of them have Western passports. So want to get your thoughts as to whether you think the United States has to be more vigilant to prevent another 9/11 style attack. 336-1320, 1-800-228-4435. Good morning, Rob. You're on Kello.
Good morning. Americans don't like war. They don't like to engage in war. We're always drawn into it. Nobody wants to send their son and daughter into such situations. I think we have a lot of options on the table, but unfortunately, I think we have a very disinterested president. When he came back to speak on the Foley situation, if you watch that, he looks angry, and he's not angry at ISIS. He's angry that he has to come back and give that speech, in my opinion. You have a lot more people on the left saying the guy's disconnected. He is fed up with not being able to get his agenda through. But the things that I think Americans can do dealing with ISIS, because they are a threat. There's no doubt about it since 9/11. And we pursued people, went after them. We've enraged them even more. And then when we pulled out of Iraq, we've done some things that have created even more vacuums. And it's getting filled by different people. And we need to be proactive, and the Kurds are one of those options. Let them do the fighting while they're there. Let's try to get Iraq going in the right direction. And even Assad of Syria, I think it was a huge mistake, a political blunder, that you know, he's better than the alternative. And we broke Libya. Gaddafi was better than the alternative that came in there and filled that void. And the Saudis have been really upset with us. Not that they haven't spoken out of both sides of their mouth from time to time. Thank God the military took back over in Egypt. But ISIS does need to be stopped. And right now you have a lot of people in Britain and Europe who economically are not doing really well. They feel like they're discriminated against. And when they see a cause, such as what's going on in the Middle East for their religion, you have a lot of people joining it just for that reason, to belong to something, to feel like they're important, that they can do something. And because their economic alternatives in Europe, they're not there. There's not enough jobs, I don't believe. But
yeah, unemployment in some of the European countries is pretty high. And I think there's certainly Britain has taken a different stance toward Muslims in their country, and they've had an increase in violence and an increase in, you know, people that are a lot of that has to do with the political stance that they've taken toward Muslim. They've not taken a hardline stance specifically toward we're talking about the extremist Muslims now, these extreme radicals. And because of that, you've seen them really flourish in Britain. And that's where a lot of these people you see that are going into Iraq and Syria, they're coming in particular out of Britain. And I think it's a result of their policies there. And you touched on some interesting things, Rob. I think one of the things here, you know, the idea that we can get out of Iraq and then everything's going to be all right. If we just leave the world alone, these people aren't going to be after us and trying to kill us. I think with our departure from Iraq, Afghanistan, we've seen what's happened. The reverse has occurred. You know, you've got more violence occurring there, more, you know, anti-American sentiment that continues to be whipped up, despite the fact that, you know, for all the lip service we've given it and the fact that we're coming home, we're withdrawing, and yet, you know, violence there has increased tremendously. We've created a vacuum there. You're absolutely right. And now I think we're paying the price for it. Let's get to Dennis. Good morning, Dennis. You're on Kello.
Good morning, Greg.
What do you make of this?
Well, I think ever since we were attacked on 9/11, the enemy declared war on us. And I really think that from that day forward, we have been in a world war with these people, wherever they are, and they are in a lot of countries, and it affects our allies. I think the only way to win is to eliminate these people. I mean, they are purely evil.
It seems like it's a war we haven't been very willing to fight a lot of times.
Exactly. I think we need to get serious. We need to hold our allies accountable. And these people just need to be eliminated.
What do we do in Iraq and, you know, Syria, where ISIS and Islamic State is really gaining a big foothold?
Well, even if we have to work with the Syrian government, I think, these people need to be eliminated one way or the other.
Dennis, thanks for your call. Welcome to the Greg Delfridge Show. If you're just joining us this morning, we're talking about the Islamic States and growing number of congressmen, such as Republican Representative Mike Rogers, who's the chair of the House Intelligence Committee, concerned about the Islamic State being one plane ticket away from U.S. shores. Journalist Bob Woodward on Fox News Sunday yesterday expressed concern about Islamic State building resources to the point where it would be very easy for them to financially finance another 9/11 style attack. Do you think the United States has relaxed its guard too much? 336-1320 is our phone number, 1-800-228-4435. Good morning, John. You're on Kello.
Hi. I think we should be very vigilant about an attack over here, because I know it's coming. I don't think it's coming. But the one thing that I want to mention is we need a coalition of people, not only the U.S., but the U.S., Britain, Australia, France, Spain. We need a coalition of people to go over to Iraq and take care of ISIS, not just us. But the reluctance on other nations to do that is because they have such a big Muslim population, like the British, that if they were to go over there and start a war and be a part of this war, I think they would be so much unrest in their country that it would be hard for them to continue. And I believe that the British, who have almost an open borders mentality, have let so many of these people in there that they would have suicide bombings going off on a daily basis.
Yeah,
and I think that's why they're reluctant to do this.
That's a very interesting point, because I agree with you. I think it would be difficult, particularly for Great Britain.
You know, I think our president has ostracized so many people that it would be hard for him to go back to these people and say, look, I need help. And I think that we need somebody in the White House that can put the coalition of people back together. We need to stand with Israel. We need to go back to Britain and Germany and say, look, we have your backs. We need to put the missile defense system back in Poland so that way we can keep the Russians in check. And all of this that our president has torn down in such a bad way that the next president is really going to have nothing but foreign policy to take care of for the next year before it can even work on the economy here.
I like what you're saying about this not just being a United States responsibility, but a responsibility of community of nations to respond to this kind of terrorism. It's a great point. Thanks for the call, John. 336-1320 is my number, 1-800-228-4435. We go from John to John. Hi, John. You're on Kello.
Hey, good morning, Greg. This is a great show. These celebrity callers have made some excellent points. I spent 32 years in the intelligence business, 30 years as a case officer, 2 years as a contract case officer, 4 years in our terrorism center. I don't think we have to be, we have to be concerned about the caliphate coming here, but they're already here. There are plenty of sympathetic cockroaches living in this country who there's just this morning, there's a threat by a domestic sympathizer to blow up a shopping mall. I saw it on Facebook, and,
right.
I'm not really surprised. What it means is that foreign intelligence services and domestic police intelligence really have to get serious now about this threat to our homeland. There's a drastic gulf. There's a sea between what is police intelligence and what is classical foreign intelligence espionage. As a matter of fact, I pretty much wrote a chapter about that in a book that I published in 2011. I'm not plugging that book. That isn't what I called.
No, that's all right. In fact, go ahead and hawk the book, John.
Well, no, let me just say this is a problem of our own making to a large extent. The Department of Homeland Security has never really been fully functional. It's dysfunctional in many, many ways.
List some of the biggest mistakes you think we're making, John.
I think we are, 9, 10, 11 years on from the Department of Homeland Security, and the state police still can't. We have these task forces, and there's actually one in our state. Every state's got a task force with national intelligence plug-in and representation, but you have to start changing the way you train police officers. There's counterterrorism and there's anti-terrorism. Anti-terrorism is pretty much the way the police have looked at it for decades. That is something that is reactive. We react to a terrorism incident. We run out there with the SWAT team like we did during the Boston bombing. And, we pick up the pieces, the bodies, and so forth. But counterterrorism is a long-term, arduous process. But we're not serious about it. And, I can even say in our own state, very sadly, I was just appalled about in this past year that Governor Dugard appointed a new replacement to head up South Dakota's Department of Homeland Security in Pierre, and he appointed a social worker. And I'm thinking, good grief, you know, I'm not the only retired Fed living out here. We have people who are FBI, U.S. Marshals. Sure. We've got one of my neighbors in Bonhomme County is a distinguished former Secret Service guy. Why, pray tell, have we appointed a social worker to be in charge of this entire very complex process of fusing intelligence from national sources and from the I work for Christians in Action. It's a foreign intelligence service. And fusing that with need-to-know information that our state troopers need, our city police officers need. We're just not there. We're a long way from there. We have a deputy director at the national level of Homeland Security who's actually he's a Muslim. And we have a director of CIA now who's a practicing Muslim. Barry has done this to us, and I hope everyone's sleeping well in their beds tonight.
John, you've got to tell what is the name of your book, and how can people find it?
The book actually is an historical case study, and it deals with the Anglo-Irish War between Britain and Ireland from 1919 to 1920, a real vicious, bloody, really an intelligence war. And it's called Michael Collins and the Anglo-Irish War, Britain's Failed Counterinsurgency. And the failure was in the gulf between police intelligence and foreign intelligence services.
John, I appreciate the call. Forgive me, my friends. I'm out of time. So long until tomorrow. And may God bless.